He says, and it came to pass when he ended these sayings, the people were astonished. They were astonished. They took one. It hit them hard. Has the word of God hit you hard? You hear the message, you hear it preach, you hear it sing. Does it affect you? Does it penetrate that thick skull of ours, or that hard-heartedness of ours? I guess the question would be next, how are we building our house? Because Jesus said, listen, you're building your house. He's telling these people you're building your hope on a bad foundation. Then he would have said earlier, he said, you're really on a wide road. You think you're on a narrow road, but you're really on a wide road. What Jesus was telling these people, you're on your way to hell. That's really what he was saying. That's why they were astonished. No man had said that. Let me give you an illustration how the preachers preached in those days. Turn with me to, I believe, Ezekiel, if you can go there. I'm going to pick it up real fast here. The teachers back then are like the teachers today. Everything going to be all right. Okay? Everything ain't going to be all right. I have no right to tell nobody that. Everything ain't going to be all right. Amen. Everything, it's going to get worse and worse. Listen, excuse me. I said Ezekiel, but Jeremiah. Jeremiah 23. Watch this now. I don't know how much of this I need to read, but it just speaks to itself. Sometimes you just read scripture and it explains itself. Jeremiah 23 and 9. I'm going to read it. It says, and my heart within me is broken because of the prophets. My bones shake, and I am like a drunken man, and like a man whom wine have overcome because of the Lord and because of the word of his holiness. What is Jeremiah saying? He's saying, it's got me. I'm filled with the Spirit, and it's got me. I'm under the Spirit's control. But watch in verse 10. For the land, and this is how I was talking about America today. Somebody said, well, the Bible is old-fashioned. Y'all can't be reading the Bible. It's old-fashioned. It's changed. Times have changed. Folks doing things different. No. Jeremiah 23:10. For the land is full of adulterers. For because of swearing, the land mourn. Is our land mourning? Absolutely. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For what? Watch this now. For both the prophet and the priest are profane. You know what that means? Foul. Foul. In my house have I found their wickedness, say the Lord. In the house of God. In the house of God, Jeremiah is saying, in the house of God, when God looks at the house of God, he sees the wickedness of the world have creeped in. And it's knocking on the door every week. The wickedness of the world, they want to get in the church. There ain't but a few. Wherefore their way shall be unto them as a slippery way. In the darkness, they shall be driven on and shall fall therein. For I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, say the Lord. Now, this is interesting here. Verse 14. I have seen the prophets of Jerusalem in horrible thing. How about that? I was talking to some people at my job, and they were from Akron. They asked about a famous preacher from Youngstown that used to live in Akron, and just had horrible things to say about him. And I was saying this, and I just pray, and I asked God to just protect me and give me strength. I would hate to have anything said like that about me. And it was just a godless man, carnal man, just nothing to say. I mean, just, I don't know him. Watch this. I have seen the prophets of Jerusalem in horrible thing. They commit adultery. They walk in lies. They strengthen the hands of evildoers. You know what Jeremiah is saying? When the word of God is not preached, evildoers think they are right, and they get stronger in doing their evil. They get more powerful. He's saying that none do return from his wickedness. Because the word of God, if the word of God is not preached, people are going to stay in their wickedness. And if you stay in your wickedness, longer you stay in your wickedness, the more wicked you get. Because you need to be saved. You need a new nature. We talk about 2 Corinthians 5:17. You need a new nature. And if you continue living with that old nature, it's sooner or later it's going to consume you. Because the Bible says, Jesus told Nicodemus, Nicodemus, stop. Stop. You must be born again. There's no such thing as a Christian who has not been born again. Now, well, I'm a Christian, but I've talked to people who tell me they're Christian. Don't even know what it means to be born again. Uh-huh. Don't even know what it means to be born again. I'm just a Christian. Well, you know, I've been baptized. Well, my pastor, I go to Christian Bible Baptist Church. That's not being born again.
Amen.
Okay? Being born again, you find me. Oh, here we go. Therefore, wait a minute. For God. Okay? Y'all know where I'm going. So loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what that means? That word believe means, did you believe that he was truly God's son, who was born of a virgin, who died on Calvary's cross for the sins of the earth, for the world, and was buried, and on the third day rose again. And you base your life on that. Like Madison was saying. Die for me. Therefore say the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets. This is why it's so important that we preach the word. Some people that time preaching that word is boring. You know, you've been on the Sermon on the Mount for a year, almost a whole year. Behold, I will feed them wormwood. You know, there are a lot of church folk like wormwood. They on a wormwood diet. There's a whole lot of church folk on wormwood diet. Honestly, wormwood means poison. And when you're being fed a false doctrine, a false message that's not based on scripture, and you come to church just to be entertained, you want wormwood.
You just
give me wormwood. You walk through the aisle and there's steak over here and prime rib and all. Give me wormwood. And then it says, not only that, I will make them drink the water of gall. Give me what you want to drink. Give me gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Now, folks, listen. I'm going to wrap this up, but this is interesting. Thus said the Lord of hosts. That's God. Hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. Make you vain. Make you vain. When you sit in church and listen to folks, whether you're on TV or on the radio, whatever, and they're not giving you the word, they're making you vain.
Amen.
You know what they're doing? They're making you think you're all right.
Amen.
They're making you think, okay, I'm okay. I'm all right. I'm on my way to heaven. I was baptized, and you know you are a hellish individual. And the preacher, well, you're all right. You on your way to heaven. And you singing in the choir, you know, I'm going up to yonder to be with my Lord. And you know, if you die tonight, you will not see yonder. Listen, they speak a vision of their own heart. Bible says our people perish for a lack of knowledge. For they speak a vision of their own heart. This is why people say, well, all he do is preach the Bible. You don't want to hear my vision from my heart.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
And not out of the mouth of the Lord. And they say unto them that despise me. Now watch this now. They say unto them that despise me. He's talking to people that hate God. You know, the church is full of folks that hate the Lord. We don't like to think like that. Well, everybody come to church. Well, I love the Lord. Not really. Some folk come here just to stir up stuff.
Amen.
That's what Jesus said. Blessed are the peacemakers. Why did he have to say that to the church? Why did he have to say? He was talking to saved folks. Why did he have to say that?
Yes.
But there wasn't some people in the church that weren't peacemakers. And when I say peacemaker, I don't mean a compromiser. Don't mix the two. I don't mean I'm gonna make peace, and I'm gonna say, well, I'm all right with homosexual marriage, and I'm all right with abortion, and I'm all right with transgender bathroom because I don't want to stir the pot. Well, I'm gonna stir the pot. Okay, I'm not all right with it, and God's not all right with it, and I'm not gonna be, well, you know, Sister so and so, she got two of her boys like boys, and Sister so and so got two of her girls like girls, and you know they give a lot to the church. This is God's church.
Amen.
I ain't gonna beg y'all for nothing.
Amen.
And God don't take care of you, shut it down.
Amen.
It ain't my job to support the church. God's job. He said it's his church.
Amen.
Ain't that how that go?
Amen.
It's his church. It ain't my church. If it's mine, I gotta pay my light bills. I ain't gotta pay God's light bills. His church.
Amen.
Oh, y'all don't hear me. A lot of trustees don't want to hear that, you know, market like, well, they got to pay, they gotta, we, you know, we like to eat on Fifth Sunday. We got to give something. Listen, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. Y'all, did y'all hear what I just said? Did y'all hear that text? Let me read it again, because this is what the false prophets are saying. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said. The Lord hath not said, ye shall have peace. You're not going to have peace outside of God. There's no peace. You won't have peace in your home. You won't have peace on your job. You won't have peace in these schools. You can talk all you want about these public schools. Listen, you will not have peace in them.
Amen.
And then put God out. God said, do your thing, public schools. You know, go ahead and run. You want to kick me out? You don't want to mention my name in the curriculum? Do your thing.
Amen.
And now they're running up in there, and they, where was God at when they shot all them little kids? Well, you put him out.
Amen.
And then you'll sit here and say, well, you should have peace. You're not going to have peace. Okay? You know, the number one cause of divorce is no God.
Amen.
Yeah. Let me say that again. The number one cause of divorce. All of us in here that's been through a divorce and all that, you know, it wasn't, well, he hit me, or he was a drinker, or he spent all the money, or she wanted to go out to the clubs. No, the problem is no holiness, no righteousness, no Holy Ghost, no Holy Spirit, no marriage.
Amen.
That don't make any sense.
Amen.
Folks want to get married. Get marriage is for saved folks. Unsaved folks, I don't want to get married. Why would unsaved people want to get married? And then use God's principles. Well, you know, he cheated on me. Who told you he cheated on you? Or the Bible? You don't believe the Bible. You unsaved. You don't even go to church, but you're saying your husband cheated on you. He ain't do nothing. He just doing what he do. That's what sinners do. You married a sinner, you a sinner. Sinners cheat on each other. How are you going to use the God's word to guide your godless marriage? Man, does Brian make any sense?
Amen.
Well, you know, she ain't no good. She was born in sin, and she never been born again. She going to die no good.
Amen.
Jake, I'm making any sense?
You're
going to use the word of God to guide your godless marriage. You're not even saved. You don't even have a Bible in your house, and you going to say, well, he cheated on me. He drank. He hit me. What's the problem with that? Huh. Okay. They say unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of their his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. You know what they're saying? Do what you want to do. Ain't nothing going to happen. And the preachers are teaching that, and it's happening today.
Amen.
I heard some of the most crazy stuff come out of preacher's mouth.
Uh-huh.
Some of the craziest stuff come out of their mouth. So, okay. Jesus confronted their sins, confronted them, and confronted their whole idea of salvation. Now, this is one I thought was interesting. I know I'm backtracking a little bit. It's sort of like Wednesday night, but we're going to get there because this is important.
Amen.
Okay? Now go back to verse 22. This is important. Verse 22, verse 21 says, not everyone that say unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. What is the will of God? It's not that you do miracles. It's not that you do all this stuff. That's not the God's will. God's will is that you believe on the Son. Okay, remember the rich young ruler came running to Jesus. He came running to Jesus and he said, Lord, what must I do to be saved? And really what Jesus said, you don't have to do nothing. I'm going to do it. Just go sell all that stuff. Come follow me and watch what I do. Now, he didn't ask him to do anything. Listen, you don't have to do anything. Lord, Lord, we did miracles and we did this and we did that. That's religion. Religion is always work. It's always, you know what? Well, you know, I'm on the building fund. I'm on the church committee. I'm on this. I'm on that. That don't get you saved. That ain't what God called you to do. He called you to do no miracles. The miracle might be, sometimes the miracle is somebody dying. We want to raise everybody from the dead. Some folks, you know what? Don't raise me. I tell you all the time, don't raise me. Okay? Resuscitate them, you know, resuscitate them 9 times, you know, break my chest bones and chest cavity, everything, trying to keep me around for a couple of hours. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Yeah, listen, the rich young ruler had something to do. He wanted to do something, and Jesus said, you ain't got to do nothing. I already done it. Amen. Okay? All right, it's already done. I done it on Calvary's cross. See? See, what he wanted them to say, Lord, Lord, they said, Lord, Lord, they were sincere, but they were sincerely wrong. But they should have been saying, you know what, I believe on your Son. Okay? I believe on your Son. That's what Jesus wanted to hear. I want to hear John 3:16. I want to hear John 14:6. I want to hear 1 John 5. Listen, 1 John 5. Here's what you need to say when you come in the presence of Jesus. Let me go there. 1 John 5:1. Here's what Jesus was looking to hear. They was like, well, we did miracles. We healed people. And I don't care about that stuff. Okay? You listen. Here's what you need to say. 1 John 5:1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Okay? You want to talk about what you need to say when you come to the presence of God? Lord, I believe. And if you don't ask it, that's like the one man came upon the Son. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Some of us want to believe, and some of our beliefs ain't strong. Need help. Ask God for help. Amen. Okay, ask God for help. Uh-huh. Whosoever believeth, that's all caps in my Bible. Mm-hmm. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. You can't be born again if you don't believe that Jesus is the Christ. Amen. And the old belief ought to be backed up by your life. Amen. And there ain't no such thing as believing and living like a fool. Amen. Okay? The two don't go together. Yeah, I believe. That's right. Okay? Y'all know y'all got that R. Kelly faith. R. Kelly's, I believe I can fly. No, you don't. Because if you did, you would just climb up the Trump Tower like the one boy did and jump off. How you believe you can fly? Prove it. He don't believe he can fly. And some of y'all don't believe. You just say you believe. Because belief is an action word. It's an action word. There's an action behind believing. It ain't tears. It ain't emotion. It ain't running all around. Look at me running around. I believe. No, let me tell you something. Amen. A lot of wild animals run around. Don't believe nothing. Amen. Believe me. There's been a change in me. Okay. Amen. I'm not the same person I used to be. Okay. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is the Christ. Is born of God. And you, I dare you won't find a candidate running nowhere that will quote this verse. They can say they're Christians. They Christians like a lot of church folk, you know? Well, Donald Trump's a Christian. Hillary's a Christian. Listen, let me tell you something. Whosoever believed that Jesus is the Christ. Say that tomorrow in the debate. It'd be over for real. They can come up with all kind of pictures. You can say some locker room stuff. Say that Jesus is the Christ and the only way to heaven. Uh-huh. Get him on tape saying that. Uh-huh. You want to knock him out. Folks don't care about nobody cheating and fornicating and groping women and all that. Listen. Uh-huh. Find a tape with him in church talking about, I believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. I believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man come to heaven but through him. Meaning all Muslims and Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, everybody going to hell unless they believe in Jesus. And then he will step down. Step down fast. Because whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Is born of God. And everyone that loveth him, that begot, loveth him also that is begotten of him. You're going to love other Christians. And you're going to love me. You're going to love me. I said, Pastor, you hard to love. Isn't it? Jesus was hard to love. The apostles were hard to love. They crucified all them. Uh-huh. They, you know, but you know, the people of God going to love the people of God. By this, Peter's right, John's right. By this we know that we are the, excuse me. By this we know that we love. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whosoever, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Amen. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Interesting. You know, it's not unusual. A lot of people say, well, you know, it's hard to believe. Even when Jesus preached it, people didn't believe. See, a lot of people think when Jesus preached it, people would believe. They didn't believe on the Sermon on the Mount. Greatest sermon ever preached. Nobody came to the Lord. There's no mention of anybody coming to the Lord. Okay? Greatest sermon ever preached. Now, I sit here and watch folks. You know, I go down to some of these big churches, and every Sunday, 40, 50 people coming to the Lord. Ain't heard nothing. I'm sitting here like, what is they coming down here for? Now, we put these chairs out. Y'all know, you know, somebody asked me once, Jeremy, I think he asked me, you don't need an altar call. I don't like doing altar calls. I'll be honest with you. I don't like doing altar calls because I'm not going to sit here and coerce somebody to come down here on a false profession. Amen. Ain't heard. No, well, you know, I want to make my mommy happy. I want to make my daddy happy. I want to make my husband happy. I'm going to join the church. Joining the church don't save you.
Amen.
Okay? Joining the church don't save you. Matter of fact, somebody said this. Once you join the church, it's hard to get saved. It's hard to get saved after you join the church. Are you think you in? I'm a member of the church. This church is in hell. Whole churches be in hell. You get there, you get to hell. Be whole churches in hell. Because folks, well, you know, and I know preachers that spent 15, 20 minutes. Y'all been in there. I done seen folks drag folks down. Well, come on. Come on down. Come on down. Come on down. Sit in the chair. Them ain't magic chairs. Ain't nothing happening when you sit in that chair. Holy Ghost chairs. Them ain't Holy Ghost chairs. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, y'all not come down.
Amen.
We come down. You don't sit in the chair. You know, you got anything to say? No, I ain't got nothing to say. I know you ain't got nothing to say. You ever notice that? 90% of the people come sit in the chair. You got anything to say? No, I ain't got nothing to say. I'm what I'm supposed to say. You're supposed to say that you received the Holy Spirit while you heard the message, and that's why you came down. I don't know nothing about the Holy Spirit.
Uh-huh.
You know, I just know I need to join the church, so, you know, when I die, we eat chicken. Folks, you know, I make light of stuff, but I try to keep it real.
Amen.
There was a time when Jesus was preaching in Luke chapter 5, and you know this story, you know the story. In Luke chapter 5, verse 17, watch this now. This is important. I'm gonna spend some time with this, and I'm gonna let y'all go home. It says, and it came to pass on a certain day, verse 5:17 of Luke, and it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching, Jesus was teaching. And there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. Now, Now watch this. This next line is so important. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Okay? The power of the Lord was present to heal them or to save them. Watch this now. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him, but they could not find by way they might bring him in because the multitude, there's a lot of folks there now. And they went up upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch in the midst before Jesus. Okay? Just coming down the roof. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven. Now remember, the power of God to heal was available to everybody there. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus proving that he was God. And when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered, saying unto them, what reason ye in your heart? Now they were speaking to themselves. Jesus heard what was on their hearts. My goodness, don't miss that. And he answered their question that they didn't even ask verbally. They just asked it in their heart. They were just criticizing him like some folks do. You don't say it out loud, but, you know, I'm so tired of this. And, you know, you say stuff. Watch verse 23. Whether it is easier to say thy sins be forgiven thee or to say rise up and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man have power upon the earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thy house. And immediately he rose up before them. Now watch this. And took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house. Watch this. Glorifying God. See, now, the man or woman who's truly saved come down here and receive the Holy Spirit and sit in these chairs and say, I've accepted Jesus Christ. That's why I want to be a part of God's church. The only person that's supposed to be a member of the church is God's people, Holy Ghost-filled folks. See? Amen. Now, we got that all messed up. We numbers. We want numbers. We want to be like the Progressive Field with the Indians last night. We want 38,542 people. And we don't care if they saved or not. Just join the church. Uh-huh. And then you wonder why there's so much mess in the church. Because you got 38,542 people unsaved. Trying to do church. Amen. Watch verse 26. Don't miss this. Verse 25, rather. And immediately he rose up before them. There's a picture of the resurrection. He rose up. Okay, he rose up out of his sins. His sins were forgiven. And he rose up and took up that of whereupon he lay and departed to his house. Here's the key. Glorifying God. See, these folks weren't giving God glory. And if you call yourself a man of God, woman of God, then you ought to be giving God glory. You ought to be giving God glory. I like the way it was put in blind Bartimaeus' case. Y'all remember blind Bartimaeus and Mark 10. Blind Bartimaeus, you know, he said, Jesus, son of David, Messiah, he had all. He didn't say, well, I did this or I did that. He couldn't do nothing. He was blind. See, you don't have to do nothing to be saved. You just have to believe, and he believed. And the Bible said the same thing about blind Bartimaeus. Once he received his sight, he went away. The Bible said he went away glorifying God. And we leave here today, you ought to find out real quick whether you a child of God or not. Because when you leave here as a child of God, you will go away glorifying God. You will leave here glorifying God. Matter of fact, your whole life will be about glorifying God. You wouldn't want to do anything that's not going to give God glory. You don't want to be caught anywhere where God's glory may be questioned.
Amen. Amen.
You just don't. You want to be God glorifying individuals. I got to give God glory. If I can't give God glory here, I don't need to be here. If I can't give God glory around these folks, then I don't need to be around these folks. If this boy ain't glorifying God, I shouldn't be spending no time with him. If I'm a glorifying, God-fearing individual, I'm not running with folks that don't give God glory. Blessed is a man who sits not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor walk in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. That's a blessed man. Oh, everybody blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Folks, let me give you one more thing. Because they were astonished. He spoke with all authority. But folks, they never really listened. See, sometimes I feel like I'm in good company. You know, the more you like Jesus, the more folks ain't going to listen to you. I say that, but that's the truth. You know, but then what we do, see, Jesus never prepared a message to try to amaze folks. See, a lot of preachers is doing stuff to amaze folks. I've been to churches where when the preacher get high and get to screaming, folks run down and throw money down. I've seen this stuff. Okay? So what does that preacher do? He's not putting a message together. He's putting a performance together, because when he performs, they come down and drop money at his feet. So what's he going to do? What's any money-grubbing, money-hungry, lying, conniving preacher going to do? I'm going to sit here like, how can I get these folks out of their seats? So I'm going to say some stuff that's going to get them running. I'm going to pay the organ player. I'm going to pay the drummer. I'm going to have the most high-powered choir. I'm going to do everything I can to get these folks out of their seats. Because when I get crazy, they drop money. You've seen that. I done seen them run on the money. Put that money out of the run on this money. And people just cheered on. I sometimes think church folk is some of the dumbest folks in the world. I mean, just calling them sheep is just giving a sheep a bad name. I was like, what you? The sheep probably like, bad. Man, they don't call them fool sheep. Giving sheep a bad name. Some church folk give sheep a bad name. Oh, Lord have mercy. Listen. Luke 10. Watch this now. Because this is interesting. Because Jesus spent time in these cities. They seen all the miracles. They seen all the healings. They heard him preach on a regular basis. This was his headquarters in Capernaum. He was headquartered there. And here's what Jesus had to say about them. In Luke 10 and 12, Jesus said this about the church that he preached at on a regular basis. So I say this, Minister Bryan and Minister Madison, anyone want to preach here, don't sit there and worry about a folk ignoring you and texting and playing and acting a fool while you preaching. Everybody don't want to hear it. They didn't want to hear Jesus. You didn't want to hear you. You can't walk on water. You walk on water, they still ain't going to hear you. Amen. Raise Lazarus from the grave, still ain't ignoring them. Watch what he said. But I say unto you, talking to the church that he preached that on a regular basis, that it shall be more tolerable in that day, what day? The judgment day, than for that city. Let me read that again. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Because Sodom didn't get a chance to hear the word of God. They had Lot. You know, but Lot was, you know, he was a just man. I guess that's close. I want to mess with that. He says this, woe unto you, verse 13, Chorazin. Woe unto you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, two other evil cities, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. If they'd heard what you heard. Let me tell y'all something. Listen, I'm trying to make it so that when you stand before God, you will have no excuse. Amen. Okay, then why I said tell these ministers, preach hard, preach hard, preach better, preach hard. Don't sit here and try to be popular. No, everybody ain't going to like you. Your own wife might not like you. Your own kids may not like you.
Amen.
Yeah, that's not important.
Amen.
It's important that God is glorified in what you preach.
Amen.
Not that you, oh man, we know Mr. Bassett, he preached good. If they start saying that, probably because you preach bad. When devils start telling you preaching good, you better shrug it off. Do like Paul did when he reached in the fire and just shake that off. Because when the devil tells him, you preaching good, Madison, that was good. Man, that was good. And then you see him. Like, man, listen. In thou Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. That sent me. They heard the message. They heard the message. And you know what? They didn't want to hear it. The people don't want to hear it today. And you know what? I get 100 texts a week, 100 emails a week from folks telling me how to grow your church, and how to get more money, and how to have this, and how to have that.
Uh-huh.
Listen, I got divine instructions.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
God's church ain't never been mega. It ain't never been big. It ain't never been large. Okay? And I'm not condemning all large churches. I think some churches are going to be large because they have large populations. But listen, tell you something. When you get to trying to connive and manipulate and try to grow church yourself, you're going to be on your own.
Amen.
You're going to be on your own. Let me give you one more last one, because I think these stories are you familiar with. You familiar with the woman with the issue of blood? Let me tell you something. Jesus was preaching. See? And a lot of the ones I give you, Jesus was interrupted. I told you the one about the man coming through the roof. Jesus was interrupted. See? Ariana don't bother me. Samaya don't bother me. Monica's baby do. She loud. She the loudest of the three. Nah. Monica ain't here. Mary gonna tell her though. Pastor, talk about you. Listen. Jesus is preaching. He's preaching. And Jairus came up and said, My daughter of 12 years old is dying. She lay a dying. Okay? See, Ariana heard me say her name. Now watch this. Here's this woman in verse 43 of Luke 8. And a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, which has spent all her living on physicians and neither could be healed. Now remember, folks, the power of God to heal was there. The power of God to heal is there. And this woman came up behind him, verse 44, and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood was stanched or stopped. And Jesus said this, "Who touched me?" And when all denied, and Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and saying, thou who touched me?" What was Peter saying? It's a lot of folks touching you, but they ain't touching them. They didn't want nothing. See, a lot of folks coming here in their sin. They don't want to be delivered from that.
Amen.
So that's mine. I don't want to be delivered. You can't be delivered. You don't want to be delivered. This woman wanted to be delivered. She fought her way through the crowd. Somebody had told her about Jesus, and he has the power to heal and the power to transform her life, and he has the same power today. You will step up in here and in sin and leave in sin when the power of God is present.
Amen.
Come on, I want to get out of this mess. I want to stop doing this. I want to stop doing this. I want to stop doing this. No, I'm cool. Good message, preacher. You know? But I ain't ready to let my sin go. I'm not ready to stop doing this. I'm not ready to stop going there. I'm not. This woman was. This woman was ready. Watch what she says. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people. Wait a minute now. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him And she was healed immediately. Let me tell you something. By the law that day, her just being inside the city gates with an open sore, she could have been stoned. Most likely this woman probably was maybe weighing 50 pounds. She spent all that she had on doctors and everything, but she found out Jesus could heal her. She said, it's worth dying for. See, some of us not desperate enough to get delivered. See, you want them to get delivered, you know, because we think, well, I got time. You know, that's Satan's greatest trick. Tell them they got time. Well, tomorrow, listen, all right, how desperate are you? How desperate are you? Pastor, I want to be delivered today. Now you got a ripe opportunity to ask God, listen, give me, touch me like you touched a woman with the issue of blood. Heal me right now. And when the woman saw that she was not healed, she came trembling. The Bible say, work out your salvation, huh? With fear and trembling. And it's a trembling thing to stand before God and ask God, deliver me, heal me. And it don't have to be a physical illness. It could be an attitude. Okay? It could be a disposition. It could be something just you know you're doing. Okay? It could be anger and just all kind of stuff. You just name your issue because we all got them. I got mine, you got yours. Okay? Sometimes I feel like I'm preaching. I feel like I'm sitting here and I don't know who up here preaching. I'm just listening because I got to deal with it too. I need to be touched too. The Bible says, in verse 48, he said unto her, her only. Now think about it. Multitudes was there. Multitudes, thousands and thousands thronging him, people touching him, and only one person get healed. Anybody ever thought about that? Only one person, this one woman get healed. All the multitude of people there, thousands and thousands of people. And he said unto her, daughter, not friend, be of good comfort. Thy faith have made thee whole. Go in peace. Go in peace. Thy faith have made you whole. Faith in what? Faith in me. Not me. Faith in Jesus. Amen. Faith in Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Not by works, lest any man should boast. Well, are you been astonished? You know, we see so much today. TV, some of us got 250 stations. And we watch murder all day. We watch folks get robbed all day. We watch cussing and sex all day. Nothing offends us anymore. None offends us. I mean, last night, 4 people got killed a block away from me. Don't matter. You know? I mean, people getting killed, every weekend. Nothing bothers us anymore because we just callous. We just callous, you know? 900 people die in Haiti. None of us thought about sending a dollar over there. That's just the way of the world anymore. Well, folks, there's going to be a day. You're going to stand before God. And we talk about it on Wednesday night. The man was at the wedding feast. He didn't have on the right clothes. He didn't have on the right clothes. He didn't have on the right garment. And he was in the party. And he was partying back, you know, line dancing. And then Jesus looked at him and said, friend, how did you get in here? He took his garment off, see? He took his garment off. And Jesus said, bound him and wrap him up and cast him in the outer darkness where there'll be gnashing of the teeth. Jesus is saying that to us today. We spent a whole year on this wonderful sermon. Nobody got saved. I feel like I preached it good. Nobody got saved when Jesus preached it. Nobody got saved when I preached it. Amen. How about that? I mean, good company. Man, nobody want to hear that? Sermon on the Mount, that's old.